welcome to the Blindfold Chess Podcast. Playing Petrosian was like trying to put handcuffs on an eel. There was nothing to grip. A quote from Harold Schoenberg. Petrosian reminds me of a hedgehog. Just when you think you've caught him, he puts out his quills. A quote from Boris Spassky. It was easier to win the Soviet championship than to win a game against the Iron Tigron. And that's a quote from Garry Kasparov. The Iron Tigron was Tigran Petrosian's nickname for his solid defensive style. Born in 1929, he started learning chess when he was 8. During World War II, Petrosian was orphaned and needed to sweep streets to earn a living. During this time, he got sick and developed a hearing problem that would affect him the remainder of his life. Using his ration money, Petrosian bought Chess Praxis by Nemtsovich, and by the age of 12, he began training at the Tiflis Palace of Pioneers, a place where students could focus on creative work and sports training. His first coach, Archel Eberlich, was a fan of Nemtsovich and Capablanca, who discouraged wild tactics and speculative combinations. Eberlich's solid style made his way into Tigran's play. In 1946, at the age of 17, Petrosian won the Armenian Chess Championship, the USSR Junior Championship, and earned his Candidate Master title. In 1951, Petrosian was in Moscow, participating in the Soviet Championship. At that tournament, he played the world champion, Mikhail Botvinnik, for the first time. That game went through two different adjournments and lasted a total of 11 hours of play before he could secure the draw. Tigran ended up finishing second in that tournament, earning him his International Master title. That tournament qualified him for the Interzonal Tournament in Stockholm, where he finished in second, earning him his Grandmaster title, and qualifying him for his first of 8 different candidate tournaments. Tigran developed a reputation for quick draws, or in general, just drawing his games. That made him incredibly consistent, never really losing, but also never really winning any major tournaments. He would hold second or third place in many tournaments, much to the chagrin of his colleagues and the press. In a quote from Petrosian, "Some consider that when I play, I am excessively cautious. But it seems to be that the question may be a different one. I try to avoid chance. Those who rely on chance should play cards or roulette." His first three candidates in 1954, 1956, and 1960, he finished 5th, 3rd, and 3rd. 1962 was different. Petrosian won clear first in the candidates, 19 draws, 8 wins, and 0 losses. In fact, in all of 1962, he never lost a game. Winning that tournament qualified him to play Mikhail Botvinnik in the 1963 World Championships. Petrosian's solid style suited well for match play. The focus on prophylactic play allowed him to wait for an opponent's mistake before taking the opportunity to strike. He took down Botvinnik 12.5-9.5 to become the world champion at the age of 33. As world champion, Tigran campaigned for a chess newspaper across the entire Soviet Union rather than just Moscow. This newspaper was later rebranded as 64 and is still in publication today. 3 years later, after his first win, he was challenged by Boris Spassky, to which Tigran defended his title 12.5-11.5. The next tournament cycle in 1969 was a rematch between Petrosian and Spassky, where Spassky came out the winner 12.5-10.5, relegating Petrosian back to the candidate cycle. In 1972, Petrosian lost to Bobby Fischer in the finals. That was the year that Fischer became the world champion. In 1974, 77, and 80, Petrosian played Korchnoi in the candidates, with Korchnoi winning every time. Each time they met, the rivalry and feud got deeper, ending with the two refusing to shake hands with one another, demanding different eating locations and restrooms, and Petrosian losing his position as the editor of 64. During all of this, Tigran participated in 10 different Olympiads from 1958 to 1978, winning 9 team gold medals, 6 individual gold medals, and over his 20-year, 129-game playing period, he had 78 wins, 50 draws, and 1 loss. Petrosian took this solid style of play and became a 4-time Soviet champion, a 6-year world champion, a 20-year Olympiad veteran, an editor of the world's largest chess magazine, and, according to Vladimir Kramnik in 2004, became the hardest player to beat in history. In today's game, we are going back to the Bled Tournament of 1961. Tigran Petrosian versus Ludek Pachman. Now, if we're ready, let's begin.
One, knight f3. Pawn to c5. Two, pawn to g3. Knight c6. Three, bishop g2. Pawn to g6. 4, castle kingside.
Petrosian's setup is the King's Indian attack, where white quickly gets out of the center and tries to attack the center through the wings.
Bishop g7. 5, pawn to d3. Pawn to e6. 6, pawn to e4. Knight g to e7. 7, rook e1. Castle kingside. Eight, pawn to e5.
I want to take a moment here. White has yet to develop any of his pieces on the queen side of the board. So why does he choose a move like pawn to e5 instead of developing one of those pieces? Pawn to e5 is a way for white to cramp black. Black does not have access to play pawn to f5, pawn to d5, the knight on c6 is blunted, and the bishop on g7's scope has been dramatically reduced, allowing white to move his dark square bishop without fear of his b2 pawn being captured.
Pawn to d6. Nine, pawn e captures d6. Queen captures d6. Ten, knight b to d2. Queen c7. Eleven, knight b3. Knight d4. Twelve, bishop f4. Queen b6. Thirteen, knight e5. Knight captures b3. Fourteen, knight c4.
Black had just captured White's knight on b3 and is threatening White's rook on a1. Instead of recapturing, White played knight to c4. Why is that? The move knight to c4 threatens the queen on b6, as well as protects the pawn on b2. So Black will have to move the queen away in order for White to recapture the knight. So in a way, White is gaining a tempo here.
Queen b5. Fifteen, pawn captures b3. Pawn to a5. Sixteen, bishop d6. Bishop f6. Seventeen, queen f3. King g7. Eighteen, rook e4. Rook d8. Nineteen, queen captures f6 check. King captures f6. Twenty, bishop e5 check. King g5. 21, bishop g7. Black resigns.
After the incredible queen sacrifice and then the move bishop to e7, the black king is stuck in the middle of the king's side of the board, and there is no way for him to escape. White has the rook on e4, the knight on c4, the bishop on g2, the bishop on g7, the pawn on f2, the pawn on g3, and the pawn on h4 that can all attack and eventually checkmate Black in the next couple of moves, and Black has no defense to any of it. It's absolutely insane. Having a reputation as a player that can never lose, and then being able to pull off remarkable games like this, it's no question as to why Petrosian is absolutely cemented into the Hall of Fame of chess history. So that is all that we have for this week. Tune in next time, where we will continue to work on our blindfold skills and look at another game of the Masters.